Blog Talk Radio.
The Lord is so amazing. God has truly been amazing. The love He showed me when He sacrificed His only Son. And what a blessing, Christ Jesus in me. I'm all I am because of what the Lord has done. It's so amazing to be loved by the Holy Spirit, Father and the Son. Yes, the Lord's amazing love, my God.
Beverly Black and the Reverend Bruce E. Rivers, respectively, two separate shows now combined into one format so that we can all represent. Now, I'm not here to pray you up or preach you down into a fit, but what we will do is discuss enlightening topics of encouragement and empowerment that are faith-based. Someone's testimony may be attached to your breakthrough. So I'm hoping that you will be inspired to continue to listen and know. I would like to introduce, and now I would like to introduce you to our speaker. But before I introduce you to our guest speaker, I would like to acknowledge our opening song, So Amazing, by the late, great Sheila Ray Charles, the daughter of the late, great Ray Charles, a dear friend, now reigning in heaven. The Well on Tribe Family Channel is a Gumbo for the Soul international family brand created, owned, and operated by Beverly Black, all rights reserved. Now, about our guest, Alan T. Black was raised and grew up in the United Methodist Church. There is no relation that we know of, but we haven't had this discussion yet. So when we do, I'd be very interested to see whether we cross, roads. He states, while I do proudly embrace my background and personal history within the United Methodist Church, I do feel that ultimately what is important is not the denomination that you are a part of. What matters most is the relationship that you have with the Lord. He is also the author of two books, and we will get the scoop about those. One, Here I Am, Lord, and the other, In the Spirit Intended, both available on Amazon. Ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome our first guest on this debut show of The Well, Mr. Alan T. Black. Hello, Alan. How are you?
Ms. Black, I'm doing fantastic. Can you hear me okay? Because like I texted you earlier this morning or when I emailed you, I'm kind of a dinosaur at this technology thing, so hopefully you can hear me okay.
Well, thank you so much, sir. Please call me Beverly. May I call you Alan?
Absolutely.
And I can hear you okay. And it is an honor and a privilege to have you on The Well. And I'm very excited. This is our debut show, and I am here to encourage, inspire, and enlighten. And I am hoping to get the same from you. So the first thing I would like to ask you in this interview, and we can, you know, call it a discussion. It's a beautiful Sunday evening, and I really like to have conversations where people just really feel comfortable enough to feel as though we're talking over tea. So don't feel like you're being interviewed. Feel free to be as transparent and as, you know, and expound as in depth as you would like, because this is The Well and we keep it real right here on Tribe Family Channel. Blatant honesty is my policy. So my first question is, when did you come to know God? For you, when did you come to know God?
I recall the exact moment, Beverly. It was in 1990, and I remember it was in August of that year. As I mentioned in the bio information that I sent to you, I had grown up in the church, and have grown up in the church, United Methodist Church, my entire life. But it wasn't really until that moment in 1990. I was on a cruise because our church took a cruise, like a four-day cruise to the Bahamas. And I'll never forget, Beverly, I was standing out on the deck one morning, and I was just looking over the ocean and the vastness of it, and the fact that as far as your eye could see, you still could not see the end of where the water would actually stop. And it really hit me at that moment just what an awesome God it is that we have. And that's when it really began to change for me in that moment. One thing that I have come to realize, and I think this probably is true in a lot of people's life, we kind of have this misconception, I believe, just my opinion, that the transformation or maybe say like a revelation or epiphany of sort is this big cosmic thing that is Hollywood produced and starlights and bombs exploding and things like that. And more often than not, it's just something very simple, but it's so profound that it creates the change in you that you really need. That's the moment where it really began to change for me. You know what? This thing is way deeper than I thought it was. It hit me that I remember that exact moment when it happened.
Wow, wow. You know, and I can understand that because I've never been on a cruise, but when I realize the depth and the breadth of creation and God's vast wonders and how breathtaking and overwhelming. I mean, I couldn't go outside and look up at the sky.
Exactly.
And depending on what that sky is looking like, I can become very, very overwhelmed. And so I can imagine, like you said, you're looking as far as the eye can see, and you have not run out of ocean, you know, because the breadth and depth and vastness of his creation, and imagine the depth that has not been discovered, the world below and above that have not been revealed. And so has there been a moment where you felt that God himself had revealed, because like you said, some, you know, may have imagine this Hollywood cosmic explosion. Others may have, you know, experienced the vast ocean and had epiphanies on his greatness, while others may have had that subtle voice or that thundering sound. But whatever it is, be it as it may, have you had an experience where you felt that God himself had revealed himself to you?
Absolutely. I recall probably when we did the cruise as a church, Beverly, that was in 1990, the summer of 1990. And then in December of 97, I was diagnosed with colon cancer. And it was at a critical stage, and I'll never forget when I went through the surgery. I came through surgery okay. But then
the most difficult thing,
Beverly, post-surgery was the recovery. And I'll never forget the day that I was trying to get up and trying to move around. I was so frustrated because it had been about a month after the surgery, the process of the surgery and recovery. I think I lost about 80 pounds. I was down about 100 pounds or so. And I was so frustrated. I was so angry. And I remember in my spirit just crying out to God. I said, okay, God, why is this taking so long? And this is just not fair. And I was whining like a baby. I'm not going to lie to you, by the way, your listeners. And I'll never forget the Lord. I heard the Lord's voice as sure as we're speaking right now. I remember him saying, you have spent too much time looking for what's wrong. And he said, look at how far I've brought you to this point. There's more to come. And, you know, when that happened, all my stress just kind of melted away, and I just felt so much better. And it still took me about a year or so to recover. But just that moment when I heard his voice telling me, stop worrying about where you've been and be thankful for how far you've come. And that really was another life-changing moment for me.
Praise God for your recovery and your successful surgery. So as sure as we are speaking audibly, you can hear me. This is how you heard his voice?
Exactly. Exactly. And all of us in this Christian walk, I do believe, are going to have that moment when you hear that voice. And to me, in that moment when that voice hit me, it's like everything stopped, Beverly. Time just stopped. And for those few seconds, that's the only thing that really mattered, was hearing his voice and listening to it and really just taking in, absorbing what he was saying to me. And after that few seconds, it was like, wow, I get it. Now, I admit to not being the sharpest knife in the drawer a lot of times, and being stubborn as anybody can be. But that moment was transformational simply because I realized, you know what, God, you're right. I've got to trust in you and know that you're going to bring me through this. And it's all about my walk of faith. And stop whining and just learn to trust and obey. Now, that's not easy for any of us. We all like to say, well, I always trust and obey.
Well, let me have you pause for a moment, and if I may interrupt, because I wanted to reflect on what you said when you said time stopped. And for our listeners, whether you're Christian, Methodist, Baptist, Holiness, Muslim, or non-denominational, right here at the well, Mr. Alan T. Black said that God spoke to him and time stopped. Now, I have never met you, Mr. Alan T. Black, but as sure as we are both live on Tribe Family Channel, when I heard God's voice in my right ear for the first time, time stopped.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And so I was going to ask you one more question, but when you said time stopped, that was the confirmation. You are absolutely right. When you hear God's voice, time stops. Now, you're live on Tribe Family Channel. If you're just tuning in, I am Beverly Black. You are live on the well with myself and Mr. Alan T. Black, no relation that we know of, but we're just getting started. Who knows what we'll discover, because this is the show that God built, and we don't know where it's going, but this is the debut of The Well, formerly The Woman at the Well, formerly The Men at the Well, all combined here so we can represent and give our testament. Now, Alan, your testament to hearing God's voice, I confirm that I too have heard his voice audibly in my right ear, just as sure as you and I are speaking, and time did stop. And after you get yourself together from realizing that you heard the audible voice of God, because it's only, you're the only one in the room, or you might not even be the only one in the room, but he's the only one in your ear, there is no mistake. Because I was talking to someone, and God spoke in my ear, and it was a wrap after that. It was a wrap. It was a paradigm shift. And so let me ask you this. You were going to continue to expound, and I lost the thought that you were going to expound about. Do you remember what you were going to continue with before I interrupted you?
Oh, that's okay. No interruption, because of the way I see this, Beverly, we're just talking and we're just letting the conversation go the way that the Lord wants it to go, even at this very time. So I was basically just going to expound further and just say that from that moment forward, that really has begun the walk in terms of me learning to be more trusting and being more obedient. And again, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I've been the most obedient person since that moment in time. But our Christian walk in terms of where we are with the Lord, it's a daily journey. The way I look at it, we're all in the process of being under construction on a daily basis. Now, I always mind the fact that I want to be a better person tomorrow than I am today. That's what my goal is on a daily basis. So from that moment forward where I heard that voice, I tried to continue to move forward. Yes, I have slipped up and I've messed up just as much as anybody else. But what I've learned from my parents is the fact that, and I'm sure everybody in some shape, form, or capacity have heard the same thing from their parents. Whether or not you fall down, that's one thing. But the real key is, are you going to get back up and keep pressing forward?
Come on now. You better preach.
That's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about. And I really, really appreciate not only you taking the time to be here with me at the well, but your honesty and your transparency. Because right here, we keep it so real and so honest that, like you said, we've all, you know, messed up. So basically, if we were to get biblical about it, we all fall short of the glory of God. And every day we are asking for new grace, new mercy, and we receive it. If we're standing here and we're able to get up and get going, we've received new grace and new mercy. When you open your eyes and take that first breath, you have been blessed. If you don't have anything else to say that day, you're there. You're in the day. Okay?
That's right.
So you are blessed. You're blessed. Well, now, you know, you said that it was in that moment of knowing, you know, God in a whole different capacity. In your bio, growing up United Methodist, what was that experience like? I visited a Methodist church, and after I, you know, had four children, and this my first time visiting a Methodist church, you know, I was well into parenthood, had grown children by then, and still had, I had two out of the nest and two in the nest. And I'd raised, you know, my children in Foursquare and Christian Baptist. As long as we find God, you know, we can be in your living room and have church. I've had church in the store, we'll have church on the porch, sidewalk, anywhere. But my visit to the Methodist church was an experience that I thought was really, it was very welcoming, I felt. And then at the same time, it was different for me and the experiences that I had gone through in other churches. So what was that experience? Describe for me growing up Methodist.
Growing up in the Methodist church, and I'm talking about really from the time I was like 8 or 9 years old. So it began really with a major moment in my life growing up whereby my father had pretty much stopped going to church when I was about 5 or 6 or so. And for years, we just did not go to church. And I'll never forget one Sunday, Beverly, he just said, you know what, we got to start going back to church. And so he reached out to a couple of friends that we knew throughout the neighborhood, and he said, well, let's go to their church and let's go to that church. And so we wound up going to the church that we eventually joined. I think that was when I was like 9 or 10 or somewhere in there. And we just kind of grew up from there in terms of the denomination. The one thing about denominations that is good, and then there are bad things about denomination, if we're going to just be open and honest. For me, the Methodist denomination has been great in terms of learning structure, organization, the emphasis on getting to know who you are in terms of your walk with the Lord, the encouragement, the inclusion of doing things like Bible studies, reaching out to different people from different backgrounds and different walks of life. That's what's been great about the United Methodist denomination. The bad thing about denominations, if I'm going to be open and honest, is the fact that we can get caught up, and people do get caught up, in terms of, well, what I have is better than what you have. And that is a major issue. And I've experienced that just in terms of some other things I've done as a, in addition to being an author, because I have a music background as well. When I have done some things musically in my home city and different parts of the country where I reached out to different people from different denominations and they were kind of resistant. They were kind of like, well, we don't associate with your type. And I'm like, well, what exactly does my type mean? Well, what are we talking about here? We're all sons and daughters of the Lord. So let's not get it twisted. Okay. And so that's where there's the issue with denominations in terms of, well, let's keep in mind one thing. We all have sin, and we all fall short of the glory every day. And that's got nothing to do with your denomination. It's about the character flaws that each one of us have. So that's where, when I mentioned in the book that I'm totally proud of the denomination I came out of, but what I'm beginning to realize is that It's not about denomination. It's about the relationship. That's what it all comes down to. What's your relationship with the Lord? How are you growing in your walk? How do you see yourself in terms of the areas of improvement that you need to work on? Are you willing to admit you have the shortcomings? Are you willing to be honest with the person that you see in the mirror every day? And that's a challenge because most people will say they want to do that, but are we really ready to actually step up to the plate and do it? That's the big question, at least it's been in my experiences.
And in addition, and I wholeheartedly agree with all the aforementioned, and in addition, are you the same person behind closed doors that you are in public, you know, or are you wearing a mask? Because, you know, that's another question that's a self-evaluation, self-assessment question, if you will.
Exactly.
So, but I wholeheartedly agree with what you've just stated, and it is very important to establish your own relationship with God. It is very important to read different forms of God's word for yourself so that you are not regimented upon one extrapolation, if you will, of God's word. And then in your seeking, because God sees, hears, and knows and directs, mm-hmm. and in your seeking, he will reveal and show you as you question, as you want to get to know him, he will reveal himself to you according to his magnificent glory, according to what he wants you to have at that time. And so those that seek him, they will find him. But it is a matter of having and building your own personal relationship, and a relationship is not based upon a denomination. That's why I refrain from mentioning denominations. I want everyone to feel that the well is some place where they can come and they can have their say about who they are and whose they are and what that means to them and their walk. So if you're just tuning in, ladies and gentlemen, this is The Well. I am Beverly Black. The Well is created, owned, and operated by yours truly, and it is a Gumbo for the Soul international family brand. If you're interested in being a guest, please email me at tribefamilychannel@gmail.com. And be sure to follow The Well on Facebook. The Well represents a half acre of property that sits nestled just beyond Mount Shasta, California, in plain view, in a beautiful development that will host camping trips and outdoor events so that we can be inspired and encouraged, and we will especially cater to veterans. So I hope you will visit us on Facebook at The Well, because the property has been purchased. It is already to build. It has the water, the power, and the sewerage. Yes. The half acre, The Well, is ready. And I am at the helm of The Well. I am Beverly Black, and again, this is Tribe Family Channel. My guest, Mr. Alan T. Black. Once again, Alan, thank you. And once again, give us the titles of your book and which one came first, because I want you to grab that book and get ready to give us a short excerpt from it.
The first book that I wrote, the first book was back in 2017. That one is entitled Here I Am, Lord. And the backstory to that book, to be honest with you, Beverly, and the listeners, is, at least in my opinion, it's an interesting story. I might be biased in saying that, but I began writing the content for the book back in 2015. And to be totally honest with you and everybody who's listening to this evening, there was never any intent on my part to write a book or to be an author. No intentions whatsoever. I can remember when I started writing the first two or three chapters of the book, and both books are kind of like short, devotional essays, inspirational. And I remember writing the first two or three, and after I had finished up the third one, I'll never forget, it scared me because I had never written in this particular fashion before. And honestly, Beverly, I didn't know what was going on. I was like, what is going on? Am I losing it or what's happening here? Because I would write under the direction of the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit was telling me to write. And then I would finish up a short essay, and then maybe 10 minutes later, I would come back to it, and I couldn't remember what I had written. I honestly could not. And that scared me, so I had to talk to a minister friend of mine who explained to me what exactly was going on. He said, well, if you're being open and you're being obedient, this is what the Lord's going to do through you at this particular time in your life. And I was like, well,
that vessel.
I said, well, wait a minute now. Shouldn't he be talking to somebody else? Because I kind of went like Moses, if you want to just look at this way and just kind of go with me here. I kind of went Moses in the respect that I'm sure Moses was thinking when he was called that he probably told the Lord, Lord, are you sure you got the right person? Because there's somebody else I'm sure who's more qualified. And that's exactly what I told my friend. And I remember coming home that night and I was asking God, I was saying, now, God, I've never done this before. And this is like totally new. Are you sure you got the right person? Because I'm not an author and I'm having trouble remembering what you're telling me to write. And I even went so far, Beverly, to say, now, don't you mean like so-and-so who's a minister over there or that person who's an apostle? Or I know that guy over there, he's a bishop, so shouldn't he be doing this? And the answer came back basically, no. This is what I'm calling you to do. And so I said, okay, we'll see how far this goes. And I had that doubting Thomas spirit simply because this was a whole new frontier for me. And so I kept going. I kept going. I kept writing these short essays in like the first book. And then when I finished up, I'll never forget, I shared a few of them with a friend of mine. I came up with this total of 35 in the first book. And I let her read a few, and she said, well, are you going to put them in a book? And I was like, well, why would I put them in a book? I don't know what to do. And she said, well, how come you can't put them in the book? Give me a good reason why you can't. And I kind of sat there for a few minutes, and I looked at her, and I thought, well, you know what? I really don't have an answer for that. And she kept saying, well, you should put them in a book, and that way everybody can read them. I thought, well, I'm not an author, but okay. And the only reason I pursued the opportunity to put them in a book really and truly, to be 100% real about it, was because she kept nagging me to death about putting them in a book. And I said, okay, I'm going to do it just so you'll leave me alone. And so I got to the point where in early 2017, I was able to network with some people through the internet, and they assisted me in putting the book together. And the first book came out, actually, I think it was in May or June of 2017, called Here I Am, Lord. And
wow,
it was surreal. It was surreal when I went to Amazon to look at the book, and I'm seeing the book, and I'm seeing it's my book, and I'm sitting there and I'm looking and I'm just thinking, I can't believe this really happened. I kept thinking again, you know, God, are you sure you got the right person? Because I'm not even qualified to do this. And it was really a confirmation of what it's like to just be obedient and just trust in what the Lord is telling you to do. Because I've learned one thing throughout this whole process, and I think this applies to everybody in your Christian life. One thing I've learned through my walk is that God does not call the qualified. He doesn't call the qualified because he always qualifies those that he calls. It's always been that way. Always.
And I feel, you know, that that is very, very true. Your story is very enlightening. And again, you know, operating a non-denominational platform, be it whether you're Christian, Muslim, Methodist, Baptist, or non-denominational, what God calls you to do is what he has planted inside of you. When you went to your, when your friend, when you consulted your friend about like what is going on because you're not remembering and recalling, and he's telling you about when you're obedient and being that open vessel. And I can see living water being poured into you. And it's a rushing stream of water. So, of course, you don't know, you know, what therein lies the drops. It's a rushing stream and a river pouring through you. And when God uses you, it comes as such a magnitude, it can be overwhelming. Even before we came on the air, and I was brought to my knees because I was on the porch spending some time with the Lord, and what he gave me right there on the porch before the show was, it just blew my mind. And I was like, wow. But I've learned how God operates in my life. And so it's a non-denominational thing when it comes to your giftings, what God intended for you to do for him here on this earth is different from what anyone else is chosen to do. And so when he chooses you, you're already qualified because he appointed you.
Exactly.
Now, when you make yourself available to him, it can be scary because you know that it's bigger than you. You know that it's of such a magnitude, and you know, you can't see around corners. You don't know what step God has intended, you know, next. And but just being used by God and just knowing that you're being used by God alone can be extremely overwhelming. And so it's very, very important to have, like you said, you went to a friend, you know, sorting it out. What's happening right now? You have to be able to consult with someone that thinks on a level that can regurgitate, not necessarily scripture, but reality.
Exactly.
As it relates to God's using you and your walk. Because a lot of people may have a relationship with God, but they may not necessarily be using their gifts, their God-given gifts, and they may not be obedient to God in that gifting. So you really have to not only be careful about who you consult with when it comes to God revealing how he wants to work in your life and your giftings, but you also have to be careful about who you let speak over you, whose word you receive. Okay, and that's why you have to have, it is imperative to build your own relationship with God, because you know we're born into, or for the lack of, not into whatever it is we believe. We're born into that belief, and then we grow up coming to the realization of how that belief lines up with our life. And that can be a shocking intersection, because the enlightenment of the belief and your life's alignment, is it can be parallel, but it can also be a railroad track running parallel to a road, and you know they're not supposed to crisscross.
That's
so,
right.
So you have to have your own relationship with God. I can't tell you what God needs for you to do better than God can tell you for himself. The church cannot tell you what God wants you to do better than God can tell you for himself. And so it is very imperative, ladies and gentlemen listening, that you go before the Lord for yourself. And then you also have the foundational support of people around you that you can consult with, because these are the people that God appointed to confirm for you, you see. And so here I am, Lord, was confirmed for you by your other friend who kept telling you to put it in a book. You're writing it. She's reading it. This is a book. See, you have to have someone to bridge that message, that pouring out that's coming into you, that someone else will point it out. See, God has people that will point you out. Okay?
And you know one thing,
so
too, Beverly, that's so... Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, I was just going to go ahead, and I thought you. I heard you flip a page, so I was giving you, handing the mic back to you anyway, so... Mm-hmm.
No, I was going to say, I really appreciate what you said, because that is so important. When you are going through a journey and you are moving in the direction of the calling that God has on your life, he's going to always have somebody there, as I think about it, along the road that you may just stop and talk to, and they'll be that right person to say the right thing at the very moment that you need it, which can be a word of encouragement. It can be a word to remind you of what you're being called to do. And in my case, it became a word of challenging me to continue to move forward and not to just kind of put myself in neutral or in park. And that's a great thing about when I think about this journey, as it has been for me, and I'm sure for other people as well, the fact that if you look back over the course of your life, if everybody does, there's always been that somebody at the right time who got placed in your life for that particular moment to say something to you to keep you moving forward in your journey and in your quest. And it just is a daily reminder for me when I think about now, at the age I'm at now, you know, I think about the people that have been there along this journey up to this point. And I sometimes sit back, Bear, and I honestly just shake my head and I just say, you know, God, you are just so awesome. I don't even know how to explain it. Sometimes I just shake my head and just smile. I'm like, you're just too deep. I can't process it. I really can't.
I know. I love him. I love him so much. And, you know, I also want to add to that we also have to be aware that God will send someone to course correct us. And you will run into people that will be blatantly honest and true about some things that you might not want to hear. It might rub you the wrong way. And it doesn't mean that it wasn't intended for you to hear and to know, you see. And so, yes, God is a very awesome God, and he will send people that will confirm, but he will also send people that will correct. And I run into people that they like the confirmation more than the correction. And with me, I spare no bones. And whatever it is that you got coming, you got it coming. And so I keep it real, real in my walk with God, because I have gone through, and it is in my course correction that has been preparation for my destiny. And I allow God to use me in any way, shape, form, or fashion that he chooses, but it will be of God. It will be his choosing. And, you know, I don't need clouds to fall from the sky and smoke to well up from the ground for me to know whether it's God or not. It can be subtle. It can be soft, and it can be silent. But that's
exactly
how you know it's God, because of your relationship and how he operates in your life. It is a cycle. I'm going to say it because it goes hand in hand. Listeners, it is a relationship. In that relationship, like any other relationship, you look back on it and you see how that person has operated in your life. You'll tell them in a heartbeat, you did me wrong or you did me right, or you might not. But you will not deny God's glory, because every knee shall bow. Now, I'd rather bow on my own than to have God bring me to my knees. And in my relationship with him, I have looked back and I've seen the pattern. There's a pattern to how God operates in my life and what he reveals to me. And that's how I get to know him. Now, how do you get to know people? You get to know people because of your relationship. Mm-hmm. How do you get to know God? You get to know God because of your relationship. Now, I'm going to give the mic back to you because I'm interested to hear what you have for our listeners from Here I Am, Lord.
When you get a chance, or when the listeners get a chance and they go to like Amazon to get information about both books, the first book is Here I Am, Lord. Now, when I was directed to write the first book, I kind of wrote it barely from the vantage point of it being like, say, just like a daily type of reflection of my walk with the Lord, my relationship, where I'm at, say, at a particular point of the day with my relationship with the Lord. And they're very short, and I've been told that they're inspiring and they make people think. Just to give you an example, like from the first book, and one of the essays that I wrote, which for me is really so, it's powerful because of where I'm at in my life. One is in chapter two, it's called A Daily Blessing. And when I wrote A Daily Blessing, I was writing it from the perspective that every day, and you mentioned this when we first started talking, every day when you wake up, that is a blessing from God himself that he doesn't have to give you at all. Because if we are honest about it, wherever we're at in this world, within a 2 or 3 mile radius of where you are when you wake up in the morning, there's somebody that didn't wake up that morning. And that's just the reality of it. And so I wrote that particular one, or the Lord had me to write that one, because I think it's so important sometime to stop looking at the huge picture and just look at the smaller picture, and the smaller picture in terms of where you are in your life. Number one, do you have a good job? Okay, are you in good health? Do you have solid relationships with your family, with your friends? I mean, those are the things that is so easy, Beverly, to take for granted. But they're a blessing each day from the Lord that he doesn't have to give us. He really doesn't. None of us know, even when we go to sleep tonight, are we going to wake up in the morning? It's not guaranteed. And I think as you go through life, maybe as you get older, or maybe you realize it at a younger point than I did, you learn to stop taking things like the blessings of God for granted. And hopefully you get away from an attitude that, well, yeah, I deserve it. Because the truth is, none of us deserve it. We haven't done anything to deserve it. But it's because of his love that he showers these blessings on us at times in spite of who we are. And let's just be real about it. So when I wrote that one, I wrote it from that point of view that, you know, if I wake up in the morning, yeah, I get sore and I'm hurting, but you know what? I woke up. And, man, that mm-hmm. means I'm going to be okay. It may not be the best day. And I know you're in California and I'm in Nebraska right now. And it ain't the best weather where I'm at right now with snow and ice. But, you know, I still woke up. And, yes, it may take me a little bit longer to get to my job tomorrow, my part-time job, or whatever the case may be. But, you know, did I get there safely? Even if I was a few minutes late, and if I got there safely, Hey, that's a blessing. I'll kind of throw something
Amen.
Else in the mix. Thursday morning, because I go to work at my part-time job at 6 in the morning. So I go along a stretch of a bit of a kind of a part of a miniature highway of sorts where there's a wooded area, and I'm going to work like at 5 o'clock in the morning. And so I've learned through just being obedient. The Lord is always telling me, okay, when you come through here, slow down. Don't be rolling through here at 55 and 60 miles an hour. And so I rolled through there at about 40, 45 miles an hour. And lo and behold, I came through that area Thursday morning, Beverly, about 5:15. And about 15 feet in front of me, two or three deer just ran out across in front of me. Now, saying that to say this, what if I had been going my regular speed and I'd hit them deer? I wouldn't be here today because it was three of them. And that's a blessing just because, you know what? It could have been me that hit a deer. We just had somebody here locally in my city yesterday. Was in another part of the town, a wooded area. It's 5 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, Beverly. And unfortunately, she hit a deer, and now she's in the hospital in critical condition. Saying that to say that, no, you just don't know. I know our elders used to say this when we were kids, at least when I was a kid. I just kind of rolled my eyes and said, yeah, okay, whatever, grandma, whatever. Sure, 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 when she said, well, you know, you just got to be grateful for every day. And we hear those things that are platitudes as such, and they don't mean anything until you get a fuller understanding of just what it was the elders were saying and they were teaching us. And that comes
And just to interject, the planting of the seed, see, coming from the elders, these were seeds being planted so that they would sprout and bloom and grow. Once we reach a level of maturity and understanding, we would be able to go back to those seeds that were planted.
Exactly.
It's the same idea as training up a child. Okay, that child does not necessarily know the why or the way in which you are doing what you're doing now. And that's not for you to worry about. You just train up that child. That child does not have to understand right now if it's something that, see, a lot of people spend a lot of time explaining to their child. Yes, in all your get an understanding, but train up the child. They didn't say, the word doesn't say, you know, befriend your child. The word doesn't say your child is to train you. Well, what you want? You know, it's a relationship, but you are to train up the child. That means that you have to be sound in your getting, in all your getting, get an understanding. You have to have a level of maturity, you see. And so we listen to those elders, and their words come to light today. And you are right. We are blessed to be here. Every day is a blessing. God bless the young lady that is in the hospital from the accident. And you are so right. God held you back, gave you insight and epiphany vision for that road ahead, you see. And so we're coming up on the last few minutes of the show. This has just been like a very enlightening, informative, and inspirational debut of The Well on Tribe Family Channel. I'm Beverly Black. My host, Alan T. Black, no relation that we know of, has been very enlightening, informative, and I must say, very transparent. And for that, I am extremely grateful because I did not know what to expect, and you didn't either. This is our first time speaking to one another. Ladies and gentlemen, we have simply emailed each other confirming that he would be a sponsor of the well, and he has made it possible for us to debut this day, and for that, I'm very honored, and I am grateful to you, Mr. Alan T. Black. Now, I know you're on Facebook. I found you, so ladies and gentlemen, if you want to find him on Facebook, you can look for me, facebook.com/tribefamilychannel, and that first post that you'll see, Alan Black is tagged right in there, and he's under Alan Black. Am I correct?
Yes, I'm under Alan Black, and then also I have a Facebook page, which I'm redesigning. It's called Here I Am, Lord, and I have to ask the listeners to forgive me because the Facebook thing and the social media stuff, I'm way behind on that. I'm still learning it. I have a person that works with me here as sort of like my consultant. And she always teases me. She said, well, you know, your middle name should be Jurassic. And I said, well, you know what? I agree with you. I'm just going to be honest. I said, now, this social media stuff is just a pass me by. I'm telling you.
Oh, Lord have mercy. She said, well, you know, your middle name should be Jurassic. Don't you just love them? Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a very rewarding moment with you on the well. Alan T. Black, thank you so much for being my debut guest. We are about to sign off this Sunday. I want our listeners to be mindful that your books are on Amazon, In the Spirit Intended and Here I Am, Lord. And also look for his Facebook page, Here I Am, Lord. And he is Alan Black. Thank you so much once again. We are going to go out on Have I Told You Lately That I Love You? It is very short and sweet by Sheila Ray Charles, the late great Sheila Ray Charles. Now, to book your slot here, just email Tribe Family Channel, that's TRIBE, Talent, Respect, Inspiration, Beauty, Empowerment, tribefamilychannel@gmail.com. And may your day continue to be a rich, blessed, rewarding, beautiful, prosperous, and glorious day in the Lord. I am Beverly Black, and it has been an honor. Alan, you be blessed, and I will be emailing you, and you can catch the archives of this show on our studio, blogtalkradio.com/gumbo. For the Soul. We are a Gumbo for the Soul international family brand. Our home on the web is www.gumboforthesoul.com. Mr. Allen, we have an anthology calls for submissions entitled Men of Honor. And it is the second in a series of our cancer awareness issue for men. I'm counting on your submission. Please go to www.gumboforthesoulinternational.com and download the PDF for your information and spread the word. Women of Honor, Men of Honor, and Suicide is Not the Answer is our current calls for submission. So be blessed and be a blessing. And you have a very good evening, Mr. Alan T. Black.
Thank you,
and
Beverly.
Thank you once
again.
Give us
the honor. Thank you.
It is my pleasure. God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Have I told you lately that I love you? Have I told you lately that I care? Yeah. Have I told you lately that you are wonderful? You're magnificent and so much more. Have I told you lately that I love you? Have I told you lately you're my king? magnificent.